I want to start this morning, before we get to the scripture, before we get to the word of God, I want to talk about something that has gone viral on the internet the last couple days. I want to talk to you about the Olympics. Come on, somebody. And here's what I want to say about it. So you got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to listen to what I'm saying, okay? Because here's the deal. Christianity has been mocked and made fun of for 2,023 years. So we have got to be bigger than the left-wing liberals and being offended at everything that they say or do towards Christianity. I realize it's offensive. I realize it's aggravating. But you know what? They mocked Jesus when he was living on this earth. So you know what? There's bigger fish that you and I have to fry than what the Paris people are doing or the French sissies are doing over there. Come on, somebody. What do you expect from France? Come on, y'all. Seriously, and I'm going to say this to you. It's a big deal, but here's what I want to say to you. It should be more alarming to you and I that at that table that they presented at the Olympics, that there was a young child dressed up as drag around men and women with their clothes off and their shirts off. We should be more alarmed about that than we should be about them mocking Christianity. Christianity has been mocked, and it will continue to be mocked for years and years to come. And you know what else? We should be more upset with the promotion of, can I be real with y'all? Morbidly obese women dressed in scantily clad clothing and making them be the picture and the hero that we're trying to put out unto our youth and our children. Can I tell you, we should be more worried and concerned about the fact that there are men that are naked, painted their bodies blue, and we should be more upset about men that are crawling on the floor like dogs and showing their buttocks off to the children than we are them mocking Christianity. It should be something, but we don't need to get caught up in the hype and caught up in the world. Christianity has been mocked for 2,024 years, and it will continue to be made fun of. Let's stand for the next generation, and let's stand for our children, and let's stand for gender, and let's stand for the truth of the Word of God. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Welcome to Bethel today. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, we're going to read those scriptures and then we'll pray, we'll go to the Word of God, see what God would say to us. 1 Peter is our summer series. 1 Peter chapter 22 says this, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable, through the living and the abiding word of God, for all flesh is grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. But the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached unto you and me. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, anoint this time and anoint this service. Speak to us. Lord, you know where we are. Let this word be personal. Let this word be relevant. Let this word be real to the season that each one of us are living in. Speak to us and challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, today I want to talk to you about the difference in conversion and sanctification. The difference in conversion and sanctification. Conversion is this. It's that moment when you and I realize that we're sinners. Conversion is that moment when you and I realize that even our greatest efforts cannot cannot measure up to the goodness of God the Father. It's the moment when we realize that we're all sinners and that we need a Savior. It's that moment of brokenness. It's that moment of humility. It's that moment when we go, God, I need your help. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior. At that moment, there is a supernatural thing that takes place, and our spirit is saved, our spirit is forgiven, and we are made new creations in Christ Jesus. How many of you are thankful to be converted from the ways of this world and converted into children of God, born again, living in the freedom that God paid for you and I? There's a difference in conversion and sanctification. Conversion is the moment when we confess our faith in Jesus, when we repent and our spirit gets cleansed. But how many of you would agree with me? My spirit is saved today. And if I die today, I know where I will spend eternity because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But how many of you would say this? But I'm still living in this dirty, rotten old flesh. And my flesh struggles with anger. Come on, somebody. And my flesh struggles with not cussing. And my flesh struggles with sexual sin. And my flesh struggles with jealousy. And my flesh struggles with insecurity. How many of you understand and realize that every day I am struggling to fight off my flesh and to live in the Spirit of God? Sanctification. We're living, God wants, sanctification is this process of saying, once I get converted, once I believe Jesus Christ, then I'm going to be sanctified, and I'm going to start every day to be more like God. I'm going to start every day to deny myself. I'm going to start every day getting better and growing and being more like my Heavenly Father. You need to understand this. Our being, we have three parts of our being. Just like God, because we're created in the image of God. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are body, spirit, and soul. There's three parts of ourselves, our flesh, our body. And we know, like, our body, the Bible says our body is withering away day by day. Can I hear a good amen? Our bodies are wearing out. We only have a certain amount of time to live in these bodies. Our spirit is saved. Our spirit is born again. The spirit is the eternal part of our being. Our spirit, whether we like it or not, or whether we want to talk about it in the days that we live today, our spirit is the eternal part of our being that will live forever, and it will live in two places. We will live in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ, or we will live in hell. It's the way it is. There's our body, and then there's our spirit, and then there's our soul. What is our soul? Cody, tell me, what is our soul? Our soul is this. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. Every day as I live in this body, Christ is calling me to purify my soul, my mind. How many of you know your mind needs to be purified? How many of you know your will, what you want and what you think is right and what you think is great, our will needs to be conformed and purified to the will of the Heavenly Father. And oh my God, let's talk about emotions a little bit. How many of you struggle with your emotions? Come on, y'all. Every day, if I want to live holy, remember Cole shared with us a couple of weeks ago when he preached, he shared 1 Peter 1:15, and that scripture says this, but as he who called you, he is holy. God is holy. You also should be holy in our conduct. God is calling you and I, the blood-bought, spirit-filled sons and daughters of God. He is calling us to live holy in a dark and polluted world. We don't preach that. We don't want to talk about that. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be a representative of God, if we're going to represent being born again, and we're going to represent the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot look like the world. We cannot live like the world. We cannot make choices like the world. We must be purified, and we must be holy, representing God the Father to a lost and a hurting people. Peter says, you got to be holy. You got to purify your soul. Let me just ask you right quick, and I'm going to go on. How many of you would say your mind needs to be purified? How many of you would say your will needs to be purified? How many of you would say your spouse's emotions need to be purified? Peter says, as you walk daily, purifying your soul. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. How many of you know, you and I, we play a very small role in our salvation. The salvation of mankind costs you and costs me absolutely nothing. But it cost God the Father everything, because God the Father gave his only begotten Son, and his only begotten Son shed the blood that would purchase you and I out of the hands of the enemy and change our eternal destination. Oftentimes that's why we don't really appreciate our salvation, and we don't really get excited about our salvation, because it cost us absolutely nothing. All we have to do is have faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And at that moment that we have faith, boom, our spirit is changed and we are born again. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But here's the problem with that. Many people in the church get saved and they stop right there. They get saved and they stop right there. They realize they're sinners. They realize they've made some mistakes. They realize there's a generational curse that has been placed on their life. They accept the blood of Jesus. They are forgiven, born again. They get the goosebumps and it feels good, and they stop right there. If God has saved you and if God has saved me, once we give our life to him and once we are changed, we should be motivated to give every bit of our effort and our energy to live a life that glorifies him, and to get out of our own will and to get into his will, and we should shine the light of Jesus Christ. The problem is we don't have a whole lot of role to play in our salvation. By faith, we repent. But then life really starts when we get saved. And it should be this ongoing process of sanctification. Sanctification is this, the process of becoming pure or set apart. Can I tell you something right quick, church? We can't act like, look like, live like, and believe like the world. I am so, so sorry. And that is not something that is being preached in the church very much today. But if we have been born again, we have been picked up out of the miry clay. We have been picked up out of the mud and the darkness and the yuck of this world. And we have been placed on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We are no better than anybody else, but we're better than we used to be. And we cannot live like, look like, and act like the world, because we've been called to be sanctified and set apart. Salvation is free, but sanctification, here's a question for you. Sanctification, salvation doesn't cost you much. It really doesn't cost you anything. It costs God everything. But sanctification is going to cost you something. Are you willing to pay the price? Sanctification will cost you your time. Sanctification, being set apart, being holy, living like, it will cause some sacrifice. It will cause you to have to study. It will cost you and me our energy and our effort and our desire. Living a sanctified life set apart from the world, it's going to cost us a little bit. And the question is this, are we willing to pay the price? You ever see anybody in your life and you just see them and you go, wow, they got a cool walk with God? You ever look at somebody and go, wow, I want to know God the way they know God? You ever just look at somebody and go, man, they're kind of a hero in the faith for me? Maybe it's a woman, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's another mom, maybe it's a man, maybe it's a cowboy. We look at them and we want to be like them and we want what they got. Here's what you need to know. I guarantee you they have worked their butts off to get where they are in their relationship with God. They didn't give it some halfway effort. They didn't just show up on Sunday in the week. They dug deep. They got up early. They studied the Word of God. They prayed. They said no to some of their friends. They said no to some of their old ways of living. And they lived sanctified lives. And they said, this is important to me. This is my desire. We don't get at this place, at this level of relationship with God, without putting any effort into it. And as I look at the Christian church nowadays, we want our cake and we want to eat it too. We want everything else that everybody else has got, but we're unwilling to make the sacrifice and we're unwilling to put the effort into it. You got to work if you want to be sanctified, if you want to be holy. How many of you know that old life that the devil tells you is so good? Those old habits that the world wants you to remind you of? Can I tell you, that life sucked, because if it didn't suck, you would have never came over here to Jesus looking for something better in the first place. You got to be sanctified. You got to be different. Can I tell you something else? When we start living lives that honor the Word of God, when we start purifying our souls and our habits and our mind and our will and our emotion, and we're no longer negative and we're no longer whining and we're no longer bellyaching about everything and we're no longer doing all these things, when we start living like the Lord, not only does it bless you, it will bless everybody around you as well. So, I got some new grass at my house because I got these stupid dogs at my house that I hate. You know, there's two kinds of good dogs. Can I hear a good amen? That's a dead dog and a corn dog. That's all they are. My wife has these dumb dogs, and they dig up all around my porch. They dig up where the sand is, and Jennifer said to me, you know what? We just got to get some grass. They're just digging where the dirt is. They won't dig if there's some grass there, which has been proved wrong because we have new grass, and they still dig. But anyway, that's beside the point. So Riley's got a grass farm, and we go get grass, and we go get sod, and we lay it out. Riley says to me, you got to water that grass 3 times a day, 30 minutes a day for 2.5 weeks, two and a half weeks. So, man, I roll this grass out. I'm ready. I'm turning the water on. I'm watering the grass. And here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want to tell you about today. My sprinklers that I bought and set up, they sprinkle beyond where the new sod is. And beyond where the new grass is, my new grass is growing. It's fairway grass. It looks good. I feel kind of high class with fairway grass, you know. But about 5 feet beyond where my new grass is, the old grass is green as well. And the old grass is growing because the water has been going out there. It's caused it to grow as well. Can I tell you, if you and I we'll begin to water ourselves and we begin to purify our own souls, our mind, will, and emotion. Not only will it cause us to be green and cause us to grow, but our children will grow because of what we're doing in our life, and our friends will grow because of what we're doing in our life. When we begin to purify our souls, when we begin to go beyond the Sunday morning faith, when we begin to go beyond what can God give to me, when we begin to understand that we're born again and we water ourselves and we purify our souls, it will change every bit of our world. Salvation requires faith and repentance. That's all salvation requires, faith and repentance. Faith in Christ, repent from our sins, the sanctification, living a new life with new habits, with a new mindset, with new emotions. That falls on us. How many know doing anything new is a struggle? Come on, y'all. Doing anything new is a struggle. I don't want nothing new. I like it. I like it this way. This way mom and daddy did it. This way that church did it. This is what I've been doing. I've been doing it this way my whole life. Anything new is a struggle. And so if you want to purify your souls, can I just tell you right up front? It's going to be hard to change your mind because your mind is jacked. Your mind is messed up. So is mine. But if I'm going to change my mind from a negative way of thinking, if I'm going to change my mind from a worldly way of thinking, if I'm going to change my mind from the mindset that my parents passed down to me, it's going to be hard and it's not going to be really easy. I'm going to have to work at it day by day. I'm going to turn the sprinkler on and water it for 2.5 weeks, 30 minutes a day. It's new. It's changing. Changing our will. Many of us were selfish. Can I tell you something right quick? How many know people are selfish? We're born selfish. We're born with a sin nature. You ever seen a baby born that baby? You ever seen a baby that cared about its parents? Like they poop their pants no matter where they are. They don't care. Like even if you're in church, the baby starts crying out, making a loud noise. Doesn't care if it embarrasses the parents or not. A baby needs something to eat. They're ready right now. Give me something right now. They start crying. They want it right now. We're born selfish. We have to overcome our selfishness, and we have to overcome looking at within ourselves. We have to go through this process of saying, my mind, my will, my emotions, I'm going to change it. Let's talk about this right quick. Some of us, some of you have already in here set in your mind right now, well, Cody, I just can't change who I am. It's just the way I am. I just can't help it. I've always been this way. My mama was this way, and so I'm going to be this way. I thought this way for 30, 40, 50 years. I just can't change myself. And I'm going to tell you, you bought the lie of the enemy. Because you are looking at yourself through the lens of this world, and you're not looking at yourself through the lens of the Spirit of God. Because here's what the Bible says. Peter says, purify your souls because you have been born again. Do I need to remind you again today that you and I have been born again? Not born of the flesh, not born of the Cochran's, not born of the Rutledge's, not born of the Langston's, but I have been born again. You have been born again into the kingdom of God. And now the Spirit of the living God comes down and lives inside of us. You and I may not be perfect, but we are not the person that we used to be. And many of us think that we can't succeed. Many of us think that we can't overcome our sin or overcome our mind or overcome our emotions because we are basing our performance on the person that we used to be. We need to renew our mind and say, now I am a child of God. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead in my flesh, I couldn't do it. But now I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You can make the changes that you need to make. You can make adjustments in your life so that you can live holy and live more like God. Don't tell me you can't do it, because we can do it. We have been born again in our flesh. We're born to lose. But in our spirit, we are born to overcome. Now, you and I, we've been saved. Man, that should motivate us. It's free. We've been changed. And we should go, wow, because of that free gift, I give it everything that I've got. We got to purify our souls. Don't raise your hand. Don't shake your head. But I'm just asking you. How many today say, I need to purify my mind. I need to purify my will. I need to purify my emotions. Cody, how do we do that? According to Peter, obedience to the word of God seems so simple. It seems so simple. Obedience to the word of God. And not just knowing the word of God, but knowing the word of God and applying the word of God and being obedient to the word of God. That is what will purify our souls. It's that simple. John 15:3 says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The word of God cleanses our hearts. The word of God cleanses our minds. The word of God. Jesus said, abide in me. Because how many know Jesus is the word? John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Genesis 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus cleansed us, and his word will continue to cleanse us and make us pure. Purify us. The word saved us, it cleansed us, and it changed us. Listen to me. Look. As long as we live in this world, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many hours you spend praying throughout the week. I don't care how many scriptures you quote. I don't care if you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this. As long as we live in this world, we got to keep washing and cleansing ourselves and abiding in the word of God. Always. Like, we went to the cell mark. Clara's been going with me. Praise the Lord. She's been wanting to go for 10 years. She's been going with me. And it's a dry, dusty son of a buck over at that sale barn. I mean, like, you can't even see the cattle. The black cattle is so dusty you can't even see them. And we came home last week, and if you know me, like, I don't like water, and I don't even like taking a bath. I don't even like taking a shower about twice a week. But I came home from the sale barn last week, and me and Clara, like, Clara just had dirt just caked all over, and she could raise her hat up, and there was a line where it was just dirt, you know? And the same for me, man, I was just dirty. And so as soon as I got home, I thought, you know what? I'm turning my horse loose. I got to go get in the shower and wash this nasty stuff off of me. You know what? Sometimes you and I have days where we get dirty, and we don't get dirty physically, but we get dirty in our soul because we take on the mindset of the world, and our will overrides the will of God, and our emotions rise up, and they cause us to react out. I wonder what would happen if we recognize how dirty we are in our souls on a certain day and went home, and rather than get under the water, we got into the Word of God and allowed the Word of God to wash away the muck and the mire of our lives. Wash it away. That's what the Word of God does. It washes us. It changes us. Because the Word of God, we must never, ever underestimate the power of the Word of God. Can I tell you that? We take it so for granted. You can listen to it. You can watch it. You can read it on your phone. It is readily available to you and I. And you and I got to understand, if I'm going to purify my soul, I got to get in the Word of God. How clean do you think you'd be if you only took a bath on Sunday when you come to church and Cody showered you with the Word of God? You stinky son of a buck. That's what I'd be saying about you. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25 says this, all flesh is grass, and the glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Can I tell you something today? I love you, man, and I'm for you, and I'm going to pray for you, girl, and I'm excited about your future, and I'm so glad you're at church, but I'm telling you, you got to get in the Word of God. If you're going to purify your daily life, if you're going to purify your stuff, can I tell you, how many of you struggle with anger in this place? I struggle with just a little bit of anger, and how am I going to fix my anger? Am I going to read this book? Am I going to go to this counselor? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? I'm going to tell you, if you are interested and if you have a desire, there is a scripture that talks about your anger, and if you will read the Word of God and apply the Word of God in your life, you can overcome the anger problem that you have. Our world is filled with sexual sin and sexual desire right now. And everywhere you look, it's porno. And everywhere you look on the TV and in culture in Hollywood, it's all about sex. And we're created to be sexual beings. And that sexual temptation is out there. And how do I overcome? Can I tell you, there is scripture, if you will turn to the Word of God, that will tell you and teach you and me how to deal with our sexual temptations. How many of you struggle with just a little bit of jealousy? I'm jealous of them. I'm jealous of their marriage. I'm jealous of their business. I'm going to tell you, if you turn to the Word of God, there is the Word of God that will teach you and help you to overcome that spirit of jealousy. How many of you struggle with your marriage? Like, I absolutely love my wife, and she lights my fire, and I don't want to try to live life without her, but marriage is tough. Can I tell you, if you want help in your marriage, turn to the Word of God, because there is scripture that will wash and cleanse and will absolutely change your marriage. I love being a father, and I love my children, and I love my kids, but sometimes it's challenging. And can I tell you, if you need some help in raising your children, if you will have that desire and you will open up the Word of God and do your own research, there is scripture in the Word of God that will teach you, and it will tell you how to raise your children according to the Word of God. If you struggle with relationships, life is all about relationship with God and relationship with others, and some of us absolutely suck at relationships. You need some help in your relationship, turn to the Word of God. There is scripture in the Word of God that will tell you how to have healthy relationships. You struggle with peace. You struggle with anxiety. You struggle with your health. You struggle with your finances. You struggle with fear, with anxiety. You struggle with your past. You struggle with the future. I'm going to tell you, you and I have a book that will teach us how to overcome all of those things and teach us to be victorious and teach us to live pure and holy lives that represent the God. It is the Word of God, but you got to open it, and you got to read it, and you got to be obedient to it. It's the Word of God. Conrad, come help me. Every day, you got to wash. You got to wash it off. You got to wash it off. You got to wash it off. No, Cody, I don't want to wash it off because I want everybody to see it on me so they know what I've been through. Come on, somebody. Before I wash the dirt of the cell barn and cowboying off, I'm going to get a selfie and put it on Instagram so everybody knows how dirty and rough I've had it today. Wash it off. Have you been hurt? Sure. Has somebody rejected you? Sure. Things ain't going the way you want. Get rid of it. Wash it off. Let's be clean. Let's be pure. Wash it off. How many of you know what lava soap is? My Nanny Jean, when we used to go into the utility, we had a utility room at Nanny Jean's. She always had lava soap laying up at the back of the sink. For you youngsters that don't know what lava soap is, it's like soap made with sandpaper. Like whatever you got on you, like it take the hide and the hair off. My Nanny Jean said, before you come in this house, you get out there with that lava soap and you get that stuff washed off of you. Can I tell you something? It's time for you and I to wash it off, man. I get it, you've been hurt. I get it, you got a past. I get it. But how long are you going to let that crap define you? How long are you going to let it dictate your life? We've been born again, y'all, by the blood of Jesus Christ that cost us nothing. We've been born again not by perishable seeds, but by imperishable. We have been adopted in the family of God. His DNA now flows through you and I. Let's wash it off and let's reach to those things that are ahead and let's forget those things that are behind. And until you make up in your mind you're going to do it, I can preach till hell freezes over and it ain't going to make no difference in your life. You got to be willing to purify your soul, your mind, purify your will, purify your emotions. It's sanctification. It's becoming more like God. It's our responsibility. Can I just say this to you and me? We all stumble. I get it. But we should look more, if we're believers in Christ and we're trying to walk this thing out, we should look more, act more, and think more like God now than we did yesterday. Like, who doesn't want to get better? How many want to get better in your business? How many want to get better in your hobbies, you golfers? Like, y'all want to get better, and y'all suck. You don't ever get no better. It's the same old thing over and over again. Because golf sucks. Come on, somebody. Cowboys want to rope. You want to get better. You want to rope good. You got to work at it. You want to get better at training horses. You got to work at it. Some of you wives want to be better cooks. You moms want to be better cooks. But you got to work at it. Look at me. Look, and I'm done. You want all God has for you? You got to work at it. Get over this mentality that you got to do nothing. Screw that. You work at everything else, but you do nothing according to your spirit. You got to get your butt up on Sunday morning and come to church. Come on, somebody. You got to get up on Monday morning and say, you know what? This is the beginning of the new week, and the beginning matters, and I'm going to read the Word of God. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 15 minutes, you got to wash yourself off. And when you come home Wednesday and you're mad and you're angry and you're afraid, you got to wash it off. You got to wash it off. You got to wash it off with the Word of God. You can do it. Listen to me. No more excuses for continuing to live the way that you've lived for the past in your life. Stop it. We are not of this world. This world whines, and this world makes excuses, and this world blames the previous generations, and this world blames the government, and this world blames their mommy and their daddy, and this world blames it on racial injustice, and this world blames it on this. Stop making excuses and buying the lie. You've been born again, and you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The key to you overcoming and going to the next level is purifying your soul. And you can do it. We're born again of imperishable seeds. You abide in Him, and He abides in you. We're going to close today with this. We're going to close with celebrating communion. Bro. broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. I know it's a queer setup in here. It's weird. You're just going to have to work with me. We're going to set up a stand over here to do communion and over here to do communion. And split yourself down the middle, wherever you want to split here. This side, you're going to have to come take communion, go around that way. You're going to have to come down this way, take communion, go that way. And you side folk, y'all going to do what you got to do. I don't know. But we're going to celebrate communion. Communion is the thing that represents purifying our spirit, soul, and our body. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ can we be saved. Can I hear a good amen? Only. And when you come and partake today of this free gift, do you understand it's the blood of our Heavenly Father? It was the blood of the God the Father's Son given to you sinners like you and I. When we partake of that, boom, it should be motivation for you and I to go, I will no longer take this for granted. I will give every bit of my effort and my energy to live my life in obedience to the Word of God to show my appreciation to my Heavenly Father. So, whoever is going to help me